how successful you are at work, how meaningful and purposeful work is to you, will be affected directly by the relationship that you have with your parents. Thirdly, how you feel about God, whether you trust Him, whether you can put your confidence in Him, whether you are afraid of Him, whether you have intimacy with Him or not, will be reflected by the intimacy or lack of intimacy that you have with your own parents. There probably is no relationship on the face of this earth that is more significant to you than the relationship that you have with your parents. Now, we may immediately think that, no, my relationship with my spouse is greater and has a greater impact on my life. That's probably not true. Your relationship with your parents still probably has a greater impact than your relationship with your spouse. Well, you may say this morning, well, no, probably my relationship with my children. We've got a terrific relationship, and my relationship with my children is strong and has a greater impact on me than the relationship that I have with my parents. That's probably not true. Probably what is true is that your relationship with your parents has greater impact on you than your relationship with your children does. Now, one reason for this is because our most formative years, essentially 0 to age 5, are formed at home when we're with our parents. There's an interesting book that came out a few years ago, kind of funny book. It's the name of it, All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And this guy's writing this book, and he's talking about, you know, politeness. I needed to know that. I needed to know values. I needed to know how to get along with others. I needed to know how to apologize. All the things I really needed to know, I learned by kindergarten. And there's a lot of truth to that. And so when we're at home in these formative years with our parents, it has an impact on us, so much so that we probably have a worldview pretty well established for life by the time we're 5 or 6 or 7. The worldview, whether life is safe or life is not safe, whether people are safe or people are not safe. And then as you get just a little older, then you begin to project those same feelings upon God. And all of this is based on relationships that you learned and you picked up at home. Now, another interesting thing is the longest relationship that you have in life is relationships you have with your parents, typically. When you're born, you start your relationship with your parents, and when they die, you end your relationship with your parents, and your spouse doesn't come until 20 years later. And typically, children come even after that. So we have the longest relationship with our parents. Now, this fifth commandment is the first commandment that talks about our relationship with other people. The first four commandments is about our relationship with God. The rest of the commandments are about our relationship with other people. Moses went up to Mount Sinai. God gave him 10 commandments, and they were on 2 tablets. The first tablet is the first 4, relationship with God. It must be the primary relationship in our life, and based on how well that relationship is, then the others line up much better. The second 6 are relationship with with people, and all that is really based on our relationship with God, but in addition to that, all of the rest of them are really based on our relationship with number 5, with our parents. In other words, if we get along with our parents well, then it's very likely we're going to get along with other people well. And if we don't get along with our parents well, it's very likely we're not going to get along well with other people. So this is such a critical one, that our relationships with our spouse is often affected by our relationship with our parents. So is our relationship to ourself. So is our relationship to our children. So is our relationship to other authorities. So is our relationship to other people in general. You can't overestimate the significance of commandment number 5. In fact, you could do it this way. You could divide the Ten Commandments into three sections. You could say number one through four, our relationship with God. You could say section two is commandment number five, our relationship with our parents. And then you can say all the rest of the commandments, number six through ten, come out of our relationship with our parents. It's hard to overestimate this. It's like a sandwich. And a sandwich in that it's the center of the sandwich. And our relationship with God is affected by the relationship with our parents, and so is the relationship with everybody else in life. In fact, you probably heard this. Ephesians says it, and it was just read. This is the first commandment with a promise. Have you ever thought about that? This is the first commandment with a promise. A little research will show you it's the only commandment with a promise. Did you ever think about that? Now, why would that be? Why are they pointing out it's the first commandment with a promise? Maybe it could be read this way. This is the first commandment. In fact, in reality, this will be the first commandment you come to. When you're born and you're one and you're two and you're three, the first thing that you're going to be learning is about your relationship with your parents. It's the first commandment will come to you in time. How to get along with your parents. How to honor your parents. And if you do that well, your life will be blessed. God promises. In fact, there's a lot of natural things that come out of that. But in addition to that, God promises if you can relate well with your parents, you can relate well with other people, and things will go well with you through the course of your life, and you'll live long. So God is promising these blessings based upon the health of your relationship with your parents. So, I hope by now you believe commandment number five is very serious. Now as we're getting into human relationship commandments, number five is very serious, and that's where they start. So let's take a look at this morning. And as we do, we're going to look at how do you honor your parents as you grow through life. And there are four major stages, and we're going to look at them this morning. And the first stage is how do you honor your parents when you're a child? That's really easy. I mean, it's not easy, but it's simple. And it's this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. Obey your parents. That's what you do as a child. From 0 to 12, you obey your parents. That's the thing that you're supposed to do. And that's the major goal of your life as a child, is to make sure you're obeying your parents. And by this, it means obeying them without delay, obeying them willfully, and obeying them joyfully. If you can do that, you've mastered this part of the commandment. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Do what they say. Follow their instructions. Obey your parents willfully, immediately, joyfully, and God's blessings will be upon your life. Stage number two, teenagers. Now it's getting complicated. And here's the reason it's getting complicated. But there are several factors going on here. Number one, you're now, and your goal in life is to become independent. So now you're 13, and you want to reach 20 when you're fully independent. And so the process is each year, you're becoming more independent. And at the same time, each year, you're learning more responsibility. So that by the time you're 20, you're fully independent, and you're fully responsible. That's a process. Occurs through the teenage years. And here's what makes it really complicated. Now, as a growing individual and a developing mind, you're observing some things. And what you are observing are things like these. You know, my parents contradict themselves. You know, my parents are inconsistent. You know, my parents often break their promises. You know, my parents don't follow through on what they say they're going to do. You know, my parents aren't perfect. You know, my parents are sinners. You know, my parents have tempers. My parents lose control. My parents yell at me. At times, my parents curse at me. And so my parents are doing things that I don't agree with. And so the Bible is talking about honoring and obeying our parents, but it's got a lot more complicated now. And I'm going to give you two very critical and very important rules about how teenagers are to honor and respect their parents. And this first one, you're going to think is heretical when I say it, but by the time I'm done, you'll realize it's not. So listen to this. I wish all the teenagers were in here. I tried to get it, but it was not a good day for that. The Bible says this, Ephesians 6:3, she read it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. What if your parents are not in the Lord? Well, if your parents are not in the Lord, and they're doing things that contradict the Word of God, and they're asking you to do things that are wrong and godless and not right, teenagers, you need to realize you have the right, the God-given right, to disagree with them. And the point may come, if they're insisting upon you to do things that are wrong, to say no. And if they try to force you to do things that are evil, you need to plainly disobey. Now, there are these two sides, and I'm presenting the first side. You may be heard in the month of January of this year of a family who lives in California. And their name is Louis and David Turpin. 13 children, ages 2 to 29. The 17-year-old broke loose from the family and got to authorities and reported their parents. They found that the parents had chained some of their children to the bed. Virtually all the children were severely malnutritioned. The aunts and uncles were banned from the house and haven't seen the kids and family for at least 7 years. The 13-year-old weighed the weight of a 7-year-old. And the 29-year-old, who they thought was just a kid, was so skinny, weighed the weight of a 13-year-old. The parents would put pie out on the counter to demand obedience of these kids and would not eat the pie. The parents wouldn't eat the pie. Nobody else could eat the pie. The pie would go bad and decay in front of their faces. And the point was to show this absolute obedience. There were dead animals in the house, cat litter all over the house. And this was a place where these kids, and it was right and it was good that 17-year-old broke loose and reported her parents. And when parents do things to you that are bad and evil and wrong and sinful and try to make you do bad and evil and wrong and sinful things, in other words, out of the Lord, inconsistent with anything that the Bible teaches, teenagers need to learn to stand up and say no. Now, there's another side. Say that your parents aren't asking you to do anything sinful, asking you to do anything that's harmful, asking you not to do things that violate the plain word of God. Then teenagers are to submit willingly, joyfully, and immediately, even if they do not like it, even if they disagree with it, even if they think it's stupid, they need to obey. This, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the greatest lessons in all of life. Obeying when you don't agree with an authority, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is supposed to be learned at home. The better a teenager learns that, the better life will be for them. The worse a teenager learns that, the worse life will be for them. The rest of their life, they will be under authority that they will disagree with from time to time, and there is no exception to the rule. And you'll not hear me say that very often. No exception to this rule. Everybody will be under authority that one time or another they will disagree with. And when that happens, if they submit and obey, they will rapidly accelerate to the top of their field or organization or group or whatever it is. When people see such pure submission as that, just like Joseph in Egypt under Potiphar and Pharaoh. The key is this: distinguish between the person and the position. The person may not be respectable, the position is. God has created these positions of authority in life, and we're to honor those positions, even if we cannot honor the person that's in those positions. Romans 13 says this: let everyone be subject to governing authorities. There is no authority that exists except what God has established. The authority that exists has been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority rebels against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment upon themselves, which is the opposite of what we're saying. When you honor your parents and learn that, and you take that into life, then it doesn't bring judgment. It brings blessing. So, that's teenagers. If your parents are asking you to do something that is sinful and wrong, you resist it. If they're asking you to do something that's not sinful or wrong, you obey it, even if you don't like it. Stage three, adult children. So now we're 20, 21, and now we're adults. And so now we're probably not at home anymore. And the Bible says this, Genesis 2:24. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. What God has brought together, let no man put asunder. And so this relationship now takes precedence over the relationship with our parents. This relationship is priority. This is the relationship we're most concerned with, and this relationship that relates to God. So now, a teenager, now our relationship is more directly with God, and then parents quite secondarily. But here is the point of an adult respecting your parents. Once you're an adult, listen to what they say respectfully. That's the rule. Listen to what they say respectfully. Scripture makes this very clear. We see in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, it says, listen, my son, to your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Don't throw them off. For they are a garland of grace to your head, a garland of grace to your head, a crown upon you, upon your head, and they are chained to adore your neck. They are a chain around your neck, adoring you as these jewels shine forth. That's what they are to you. Don't despise them. Don't despise what you've learned. And so now we listen to them carefully, knowing full well we have the right to make our decision. We're responsible for God to make the decision. But to cut off our parents and our in-laws, and to cut off other adults who've got more life experience than us, who certainly care a lot about us because they've invested their life in us, and to disregard that is foolhardy. But to listen carefully to that is very wise. And that's what we're supposed to do as we get into adulthood. And then there's the fourth stage in the way we honor our parents. And this is when our parents are aging. So now our parents are getting older. Children, honor your parents by caring and providing for them at this stage. It's really sad to live in the culture in which we live, where there is disdain and a disrespect for elderly. It's very sad. It's very ungodly. It's very unbiblical. It's very unnatural. And it's very wrong. And that's the culture we live in. A culture that worships youth and despises older people. And it's a contradiction to everything the Word of God stands for. In fact, so important is this, is you've heard, and you hear on Easter time, Jesus' seven last words. That means he's on the cross, and they've got recorded seven things that he said. You know what one of those things is? He says he's dying. He's just got moments to live. He's dying, and he looks to his disciple, John, who's standing beside his mother, and he says, John, your mother. And he looks to his mother, who's standing beside John, and he says, Mother, your son. In other words, Jesus, in his dying breath, was making sure his mother was cared for and handed off to John, and it was now John's responsibility to take care of her. And I can tell you, we get into heaven, you're going to see he took good care of her, because that's what Jesus asked him to do. And if that doesn't stick a sword in your side, then how about this one? Quote, if a widow has children and grandchildren, they should learn first of all, to put their faith into practice by caring for their family, thus repaying their parents and God and grandparents. For this, please, it's called the 2020 model. The 2020 model. First 20 years, they take care of you. Last 20 years, you take care of them. So we're supposed to take care of them and watch over them and provide for them. We're supposed to keep in touch with them and contact them and visit them and relate to them. We're supposed to keep them connected in the family loop and what is happening so they feel like they're a part of it and life still matters. Supposed to take them on a trip or take them for a drive or do something to stimulate them emotionally and physically and spiritually in every way we can. We're supposed to make sure if they're on medication, they get their medications, and if something they can't do any longer, that we help them and make sure that is taken care of. We're supposed to make sure they live in a clean and a dry and a safe place. We're supposed to make sure that they're well fed and these things are happening. We're supposed to esteem them highly. Now, my heart was blessed. We spent some time with the Rossmans recently, and they were excited, and they wanted us to see this book. And this book is a book that was written by all their children and grandchildren, and every it was a page with a picture and a paragraph honoring them. What the children and the grandchildren, they all thought of them and on their 60th anniversary. And it was a joy to take a look at that and to see each one expressing their gratitude and appreciation and love for them. This is the way it's supposed to be. And that's what we're supposed to be. And one more thing I want to say, and it's this. Now listen, you're going to want to resist this. You're going to want to excuse this. And I'm going to explain here in a moment that people even try to use a biblical excuse for this. And it is we're supposed to support our parents financially the best we can, as sacrificially as we can, one way or another. We're to support them, care for them financially. Now, there was a first century exemption to this rule. The first century exemption to this rule in the Jewish community was called a korban, K-O-R-B-O-N, korban. Korban was this idea that you could declare korban. And you would declare it if you paid your giving to the church, your tithe, and you were up to date on your tithe, then you could say, I have fulfilled my obligation to God, and so I'm korban. In other words, I'm obligated to no one else. I'm not obligated to care for my poor parents. I'm not obligated to care for people who have no money and no substance and need some help. I'm not obligated to care for them because I've given it the office and I'm done. And I declare korban. And they brought this to Jesus on several occasions. Jesus spoke very harshly against it. And he said, it is wrong. It is wrong. Yet I don't care how many bills you have. I don't care how difficult it is to make a living. Somehow, we children have to be responsible in some way to help our parents to make sure financially they're making it. We can make it. We need to make sure they can make it. And that is our obligation. Now I want to go to the last part of this sermon, and this is the most important part of the sermon. And it is this. How do you honor parents who don't deserve honor, who haven't been there for us, who've neglected us, who've mistreated us, who have abused us, who have hurt us deeply, who have practically ruined our life? Now surely these people don't need to be honored. These people need to be judged. And in a sense, you're right. And they will be judged. And let me remind you what God says about people who will abuse their children and neglect their children and hurt their children. Quote, "If anyone causes one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better for them to have a millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. So lest they repent, their judgment's coming." However, commandment number 5 is not conditional. It doesn't say, children, honor your parents if they are good parents, if they're perfect parents. It says, honor your parents. Jesus said, love your enemies. You don't like your parents? Call them enemies and love them. Because Jesus said, love your enemies. Scripture says that we are to love them for the position's sake. For the position's sake that they hold. We're to love them. And we're to honor them. And we're to give them respect. Because the position that God has let them have in our life. And you know what that position is? He lets you be born to them. And you couldn't have been born to anybody else in all the world. Nobody else had the DNA. No other two people. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for your mother and dad. You wouldn't be here. You couldn't be. It wouldn't happen. That's something to be grateful for. Because if you are a Christian, that means because of them having you, you are going to spend eternity with God in glory forever and ever. Somebody say amen. Man, if you thanked your parents for nothing, you ought to thank them for that. You're going to spend eternity. And that would not have happened if you would have not been in existence due to your parents. Now, you may say it was a mistake, but it was a sovereign act. God allowed it to happen. They may have made a mistake. God made no mistake. And you're here because God has allowed it. And He used your parents, and that's why you're who you are. And that is something to be grateful for. So how do you possibly love them when they're completely unlovable? And the answer is this. The answer is found in John when Jesus said, love them as I have loved you. Love others as I have loved you. You want me to explain that to you? Number one, unconditionally. That's how God loved you, right? If God loved you unconditionally, somebody say amen. God loved you unworthily. You were unworthy of love. You didn't deserve. He didn't love you because you deserved it. He loved you because He is love. Amen? And listen, God loved you supernaturally. And here, Christian, is where we have a leg up on everybody. We have the Holy Spirit in us. And that Holy Spirit is the power of God. And through the power of God, we can love them, or at least God can love them through us. That's a supernatural act. And that's exactly what God expects to happen. And it will not happen without that, but with that, it will happen. And I want to tell you the steps and the procedure to go through to honor your parents. No matter how much they've hurt you, no matter how much they damaged you, no matter how much hostility you've had in your heart towards them, obeying God says to honor and respect them. And here's the process to go through. Number one, be honest, because the truth will set you free. And if you cover this up and you lie, you will not be set free. And the truth is, if they hurt you, they hurt you. And you need to say that before God. And you need to say, God, they hurt me. I hate what they did to me. They damaged me, Lord. I don't like it a bit, Lord. You need to be honest. You need to not have a pretense relationship with your parents or totally avoid your parents altogether because you don't want to face it. You don't want to face them. Or you face them with platitudes because you're covering up and it hurts you and you won't say it and you won't deal with it. And so you need to speak the truth. You need to, before God, you need to speak the truth. You need to get it out. Now listen, this is like poison in our system. If we've been hurt deeply, if we've been abused deeply, and it's there, we won't speak, we won't let it out, we won't get it to the surface. It's like pus. And it'll poison the system and it'll destroy us. We need to lance it and we need to get it out. And you do that by getting it out and verbalizing it, saying it clearly, saying it out loud. If you can find a safe person, a good person, a counselor, a godly person, someone you can trust, say it. Get it out. But speak the truth. You'll never be healed. Step number two, face your fear. And your fear is your parents. Face it. Now, if you don't face it, you'll never have a correct relationship. It'll be a relationship of deception. It'll be dishonest. It'll be a superficial. It'll never be a healthy relationship. In my personal study this week, I came across the fear of God, and I just did a little personal study enough to realize that when we fear God, we fear nobody else. We fear nobody when we fear God. But if we fear our parents and their reaction more than we fear God and obeying Him, we're going to remain slaves. We're going to remain captives. We're going to remain abused. We're going to remain misused, manipulated, controlled. It's going to happen unless we confront that monster, unless we confront that evil. Now, you're probably saying, now, this is pretty risky, and it couldn't be risky. And if it's risky, you better measure the risks, and you better do it appropriately. And I'm not saying carelessly go in and confront them, but I am saying there is a way to do this, and it must be done. And I want to say also that this is what it means to be a Christian. This is what Jesus did. Did he not confront evil? Did he not turn over the tables in the house of God? Did he not confront Peter? Did he not confront the Pharisees? Of course he did. This is what it means to be Christian. And here's a good verse for you to remember. Brothers and sisters, if anyone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person. But watch yourself that you also may not be tempted. In other words, you do it gently. You don't do it judgmentally. You don't go in to destroy him. You're not trying to kill him. You're not trying to hurt him. What you're really trying to do is restore them. What you're really trying to do is hope that they'll face this and hope that they'll find redemption in Christ. What you're really trying to do is to bring some kind of reconciliation. And so you do it because the Bible says to do it, but you do it carefully. And you ask God to find a way, and you get help if you need it. Otherwise, this poison will continue, and it'll continue and fest in their life, probably into your life, and it'll probably go on for generations until it's confronted, until it's stopped in the name of the Lord. And step three, forgive them fully. And freely. Now this is hard, but it has to be done. And we have the Spirit of God, and we have the power of God, and it's supernatural. And so in Jesus' name, we can do it. Somebody say amen. In Jesus' name, we can do this. And as we do it, remember, a whole point is, A, be obedient to Jesus, because if we are obedient, we endeavor to obey, to submit, and to honor our parents, and we endeavor to follow Jesus and do it His way, He will bless us. And it's probably the only way they're going to find reconciliation with God, and it's the only possible way we're going to find reconciliation with them. So these are the reasons why we do it. Now let me conclude with this verse of Scripture. It's Romans chapter 12. Listen carefully. You can go back and read this. This is packed. But in light of our conversation this morning, or the sermon this morning, listen to Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Live in harmony with one another. Do not repay evil with evil. Don't repay him with evil by withholding your love and withholding your relationship and just in your heart just hating them. Don't return evil for evil. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Verse 19, still Romans 12. Do not take revenge, dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on their head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's what God has called us to do, to overcome this, to bring a change in our heart and in our life and in our family and in generations to come by dealing with this in a biblical way. So I repeat, your self-worth, your self-value, your self-esteem, your self-confidence, what you think about yourself probably goes back directly to what you think about your parents. How you get along with other people in life, at work, etc., probably relates directly to how well you get along with your parents. And the intimacy that you have with God relates directly back to the intimacy or lack of intimacy that you have with your parents. Therefore, commandment number 5 is of the utmost importance. Our relationship with our parents is the greatest and most important relationship we can have in human existence on this life outside of our relationship with God. So that leaves one question, conclusion, and that is this. Here it comes. You ready? How well are you getting along with your parents? Do you honor? Do you respect them? Do you have a healthy relationship with you as far as it is possible with you? If not, I'm calling you today to change it. To change it. And what's the point? What's the point of having a treasure chest and a key to unlock it? We don't use the key. What's the point of knowing it? We don't apply it. It means nothing. We can learn all this biblical truth that we want, but if we don't put it to use, it doesn't mean anything. So we need to apply it. And I want to invite you to do that in closing. I'm going to lead you in a prayer or two in just a moment. And in this first prayer, I'm going to ask you to be very honest with God. And nobody knows this. No one may know this. Your spouse may not know this. But if you've been deeply hurt by your parents, you've been betrayed by your parents, you feel that your parents have robbed your childhood, you feel your parents have neglected, you feel they weren't there for you, you have hurt and pain, you're still carrying because of what your parents did to you, then you need to tell God, God, I have this hurt, and it's in my heart, it's in my soul, and it's in my life, and I don't want it, and confessing it, and that is the first step. And the second step, we're going to go a step further, and we're going to ask God to heal us and ask God, Lord, to just take it away and supernaturally give us the ability to extend forgiveness to them, whether they deserve it or not, in the power of the Holy Spirit. So would you bow your head with me? And I'm going to lead you through this first series of prayers. And I just want to invite you not to pray out loud. Please do not pray out loud. And just focus on your relationship with God. Focus on your relationship with your family, your parents. And I want you to pray this, if this is true, if this is true about you, pray this to the Lord. Quite simply, pray, God, my parents or mom or dad, whatever the case, has deeply hurt me. If this is true, you pray this out. Confess it before God. Yes, it's true. This is the truth. No one else may know it, but I know it, and this is the truth. God, my parents have wounded me. That's true. You pray it out to God. God, my parents have crushed my spirit. If this is true, you pray it. God, my parents have robbed my innocence. My parents have taken away my youth. If this is true, you pray it. God, I feel that my parents neglected me. They didn't provide and take care of me like they should have. They didn't give me the attention, the affection that I needed, and it hurt me deeply. If this is true, you pray it. God, my parents showed favoritism, and it hurt me so deeply. If this is true, you pray it. God, my parents were harsh. They were harsh, and they hurt me in their harshness. Perhaps this is true, and if it is, you pray privately, you pray it to the Lord. God, my parents hurt me physically. They abused me. It's certainly possible that I hear someone going to say, Lord, my parents sexually abused me, my mother or my father. Lord, my parents verbally abused me. If any of these things are true or anything else similarly, if you've been hurt by your parents, tell God, get it out. Be honest. It's the very first step. And then we move to the second step. And the second step is that we extend them forgiveness. Now, we cannot do this in ourselves. We cannot do this in our own strength. There's no way somebody can hurt you and you can look at them and say, I forgive you. This is a supernatural work of God. It's because we desire. It's because we want to obey the Lord. And all I'm asking you this is to be willing to let God do it through you. If you feel you can't, be willing to let God do it through you. So I want to encourage you to pray. Pray these things. Pray, Lord, you forgive them for what they did to me. And don't be caught up in the idea that they deserve. They do not deserve it any more than you deserve God's forgiveness. They do not deserve it. Don't get caught up in that trap. Say, Lord, you forgive them through me. If this is true, you say, Lord, you forgive them on the same basis by which you forgave me, through Christ's blood, his mercy and grace. How you forgave me, Lord, fully, freely, and abundantly, God, forgive them. Say this, Lord, forgive me for the anger that I have harbored in my heart for all of these years, for bearing the hurt, for not facing the hurt, for denying it, covering it up. Lord, for the hostility, for the bitterness that's been in my heart. Oh, God, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. Wash it away by your blood. And then pray this, Lord. Lord Jesus, love them through me. You show me how, Lord. You show me what you want to do. You supply the strength. And Lord, you love them through me. And I just want to encourage you as we're concluding that you just pray it up before the Lord. And I want to pray for you this. Lord, you have said that if we know the truth, we'll be set free. So today, Lord, we have dug deep, deep into our soul. Deep into the pain of our past and its hurt. We want this poison out. So we admit these things, Father. And we ask, Lord, that you will break the chains of unforgiveness in our heart. Break those chains, Lord. Release us from chains of unforgiveness where we have not been able, not been willing to forgive them. Break those chains of unforgiveness. And Lord, I pray today that from this moment forward, we will, in a new way, in a new measure, in a biblical way, in an exalted way, begin to respect and honor our parents, just as you say. You give us wisdom and you give us creativity. From this day forward, Lord, take us into a new realm, and that is a realm in which we are honestly and practically and openly honoring our parents. Lord, I want to finally pray this prayer. The prayer is this, Lord. You said if we honor our parents, you will bless us. You will give us long life. I'm asking, Lord, for a specific blessing for everyone who has gone through this morning. Everyone who said, Lord, I surrender, I agree, I admit it, I confess it, I need your help. And I pray, Father, for those who have expressed a desire to honor their parents today, they made that choice today, then do what your word says. Bless them with prosperity, with blessing, with health, with good life and long life, according to your word. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.